The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
It sounded like you were eating one of those clangy bowls that cowboys take with them. So they can eat beans out of them around a fire. They only have like one bowl each.
Yeah, and then you rinse it out with your wee wee.
I've never seen that part of the Western.
They never show that part. They don't show that part in the Western.
What are these, piss Westerns?
No, that's what cowboys did. They ate their beans, and then you can't have beans caked in the thing, so you went wee wee in it. This to rinse
like
it out.
Sounds like Frank Zappa's country and western album.
That would be finally Frank Zappa hears that story and is just like, I think I'm gonna do a country music album.
I've got an idea.
I got a great idea for an album. I got to tell you, if you want campfire-based hilarity, there's a movie that I've been dying to tell you about.
If you say Blazing Saddles, I'm going to be blazing mad because you'd be lying to my face, Tom. I know how you feel about that scene.
It wasn't Blazing Saddles. It was a different movie.
What was it?
Oh, boy. Let me look up Westerns here real quick. See what... It could be, boy, I was going to say Blazing Saddles, but you flagged me on that. I got to come up with a whole other Western. Why am I talking like Popeye?
Like, oh, boy.
Olive oil done called me out on the IMDb game that I'm... I was going to recommend Blazing Saddles to a Wimpy in the...
We have like the Hulu interface on Popeye mode where it's like, other titles I recommend.
Popeye, we're letting you go. You're working at West Coast Video. We're letting you go, Popeye.
Oh, why are you letting me go? Because I got too much spinach all over the Blu-rays.
No, your recommenced list is terrible.
What are his recommend stations about?
I recommend everybody watch Faces of Death.
Faces of Death?
Check out Faces of Death and Faces of Death 2.
And it's just a VHS that he has that he lends out. It's like written on in Sharpie, Return to Popeye.
Yeah, and they're like, Popeye, yes. Get in my office. And there's no office. Oh, it's just behind the counter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With their back to the customers. It's like, what is this recommend station list here? You just keep recommending... Faces of Death to the customers.
I think it's important that people see how fragile human life is.
Oh, that's look. That's all well and good, Popeye, but also this isn't even one of our titles. You brought this from home, and we don't even have VHSs anymore.
I sell them out of my trunk.
Out of your trunk?
VCRs.
Well, now you're definitely fired. So you're running a side business out of here.
Oh, I am what I am.
Well, what you are is fired.
Oh my God, it's Tell Olives.
Tell Olive, tell Sweet Pea. Tell the whole crew.
Sweet Pea don't need to know yet.
Tell Jeep.
She's not verbal. She's not verbal yet. Sweet Pea.
I like Jeep. Jeep seemed cute.
Who the fuck is Jeep?
Who's Jeep, Brayette?
This is who I know. I know Poop Deck Pappy.
If you know Poop Deck Pappy, but you don't know Jeep.
If you know Poop Deck Pappy.
If you might not be a Popeye fan. Boy, Jeff Foxworthy hasn't been the same. Seems like he kind of ran out of jokes. Since he got hit by that car, his act hasn't been the same. I thought he was going to do the thing about putting a TV on top of a TV. You might know you might be a redneck. He's just saying you might not be a Popeye fan.
What is this? Eugene the Jeep. What is he, an animal?
Yeah, look how cute he is.
Is that his nose?
It was, yeah. He's got a little honker of a nose. Mm-hmm. Right? Honk, honk.
You'd be a terrible, like nose job surgeon whenever someone comes in and consults with you about a different nose they want.
They'd come in, I'd go, yikes.
No, you'd be like, well, I think I know what you're looking for, honk, honk.
Looks like somebody, I will recommend one thing is you could either get a rhinoplasty, which is what we actually call it, and then be like skeptical, like, why is this guy so proud that he knew it was called rhinoplasty? Then it'd be just like, or I could enter you in a few contests. We have a Eugene the Jeep lookalike contest, and I think you'd win first place. So those are the two options. We do rhinoplasty, which is
he plastic looks around surgery, the room like
to the nose, right? Right?
All, like his, nose. His nurses have been replaced with two floor lamps.
You know who has not been replaced?
Who?
Me. And you.
Yeah.
And Brayette. And it's Double Threat, baby. Another night, and here we go. And it's a winner of an episode gonna smack you in the face. With the larfs we're going to bring you. How are you, Brayette?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. You're drinking from an erudite coffee mug, mate. Or are you having a cuppa?
Yeah, let me tell you just how erudite this mug is. This is a Union Jack mug. That was bought at have you ever been in Santa Monica? There's a couple of like British like pubs with stores attached to them that only sell stuff like imported from England. Have you seen those or ever been to those?
Yes,
I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. And for some reason they're like exclusively in Santa Monica, but yeah, I got this mug from there. So this is like, it's just straight tourist, you know,
Union Jack
tchotchke mug. Union Jack mug. Sure. Yeah.
Do I make you thirsty, baby? Is that what you say? Is that what the mug says to you?
The mug says to you.
When you see it?
Yeah, there is a little device in there that like rotates through a couple.
Every time you take a sip, it electrocutes you. It's got all, it's all like loose wires.
Oh, be thirsty. Now that mug, that's a pretty sweet Union Jack mug you got there.
Wow, thanks guys.
And I'm going to say one thing to you, Brayette.
Yeah, here we go.
You might want to go easy on drinking from that because you're going to laugh so much your computer is going to be covered in tea.
Tom, you're setting us up for failure.
No, I'm setting ourselves up for victory.
Okay.
I'm a trampoline and we're going to be a springboard to victory. Actually, a springboard would be a springboard to victory also.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like literally, you don't need to be a trampoline to be a springboard. You'd be a springboard. Julie, I bought you a present.
What did you get me, Tom?
I bought you an Arabian horse.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Again?
Another one.
I couldn't breed the first one yet.
I know. I was listening to this Mike Nichols audiobook.
Oh, no. You got the horse bug?
I got the bug.
Mm-hmm.
For collecting horses. That's when you know. Because Mike Nichols, the guy who directed The Graduate and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and What Planet Are You From? has done so many things, but there was a point he was one of these guys. He came across to America as an immigrant, like as poor as you could be.
Yeah.
Comes over and then strikes it rich, gets money, immediately starts collecting Arabian horses.
Yes. The American dream.
No, I did not get you a Arabian horse because you live in New York and this is not.
So did Nichols, baby. Didn't stop his ass.
No, but he had his horses were in Connecticut.
No, that's where horses like to be.
Yeah, horses love Connecticut.
I love Connecticut. That's something a horse would say.
That is something a horse would say.
It's where I've gotta be.
I swear, just a second ago, the horse was singing, I love Connecticut. You should have seen it. Like you bring somebody to the stable. This is a singing horse. You gotta check it out. All right, come on, boy. Do the thing you were doing there where you were singing, I love Connecticut.
The horse holds up a sign that says... That's not what it says on the sign.
How the sign just says...
Spell that. It's a pair of blubbering lips.
And then, I swear, a second ago, he was singing, I love Connecticut.
And then he turns around, the horse goes like, he takes its hoof and he like puts it across his throat like he's going to kill him. He's like, if you ever tell anyone that I sang a song about how I loved Connecticut again, you're going to find your own head in your bed.
Yeah. You find your head. You find Mike Nichols' head in your bed. You pull a sheet back. How bad would it have been if he directed? They asked him to direct The Exorcist at one point.
Could you imagine? I remember that. Yeah. That
Mike Nichols, The Exorcist. Uh-huh. I say one thing. We certainly wouldn't be talking about The Exorcist in 2021 if Mike Nichols directed it.
Well, he was. Yeah. I'm trying to think what he would do with that movie.
He would have probably cast, instead of Linda Blair, he probably would have cast Jack Nicholson.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell. Like, he doesn't even do the demon voice.
Yeah. No, he's not even trying. He's just like, and now this is the part where I puke up the green soup all over the place. It's pea soup that they're pumping. It's like, no, you're saying what it is.
So would Meryl Streep be the pastor, the reverend, the father, the priest?
Probably would have been Charles Grodin and...
A movie I'd love to see.
Actually, yeah, I think I would be talking about that movie.
Of course you would. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
He'd be like, Charles Grodin, be like, I don't know. I feel this power of Christ thing. Really? Are we going to do the whole power of Christ? Are we sure about the? This sounds like the greatest movie ever.
And I wish I was watching this movie.
And George C. Scott would be the other priest.
Oh, I love George C. Scott.
Yeah.
I've only seen him in two movies, as you know. And he's my favorite actor. I think because I've only seen him in two movies.
Let me see if I can guess what movies you saw him in.
Okay.
Hardcore?
Yes.
I got one of the two. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes.
And not Patton. Not Patton.
No, in the Comedians of Comedy. That's as much Patton I've seen in a movie.
Give me a hint.
It's a classic.
Oh, it's Dr. Strangelove.
Who you're going to call Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah. Got to say, it's pretty good that I guessed in three guesses, the two George C. Scott movies. The guy made 900 movies.
To see him in any others, because as far as I'm concerned, he's two for two, and I don't want that record to be that. Hardcore is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. When he's sitting in that X-rated movie theater and his daughter comes on screen, he goes,
No.
That's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Why isn't that a meme?
Why is it not a meme? Look, that should be a meme of just somebody going like, it's like, yeah, Ted Cruz wants to run for president. I think I want to say this back. No.
Hardcore GIF. Insert hardcore GIF.
Well, Brett, maybe you can work up a meme. Where
turn it off. Turn it off.
That's right.
Yes.
Turn it off. Turn it off!
Referee, yeah.
Also, this was 70s porn. She was probably just like, she was probably just dancing around a hotel room with her bush out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it probably wasn't like, you know.
Yeah.
Like the.
If I was directing this movie hardcore,
yeah,
I would have added a scene where some creep in the theater would have come up behind him and go like, hey, sexy movie, huh? Boy, she's sexy, huh? Sexy movie, huh? Like, and you would have like surprised him with it. Like tell, tell, don't tell like, George C. Scott that's going to happen. He's like, no, no, turn it off. Hey, pal, this is a pretty sexy movie, huh?
That'd be a good part for you, Tom.
Yeah, as for the hardcore remake.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, 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 another New Year's is upon us, and you know what that means. New Year's resolutions. For some reason, just because it's January, we all suddenly get obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of just expanding on what we're already doing right. Therapy, on the other hand, helps you find your strengths so that you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes in your life that really stick. And if you're thinking of starting therapy or changing therapists, consider BetterHelp. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So celebrate the progress you've already made in your life this new year. Visit BetterHelp.com/TomandJulie today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TomandJulie.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
Now, Brayat.
Yes.
You're the esteemed producer of Double Threat, and you're also an on-air personality as well. And
my top credit, my top line credit for me. That's has superseded all else in my
well, what else would
in it, my CV?
What else is it in competition with?
I mean, I'm co-founder of Forever Dog.
Co-founder of Forever Dog. That's true. No, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. I just want, you know, it's not the biggest thing in the world. That's a decent credit.
It ain't nothing.
It ain't nothing. I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting you down. I just didn't know what it was in competition with. But now people see on the street and they're just like, I got a glaze and rub for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Now I can't go outside these days without somebody making a glaze or rub crack at me.
Can you imagine, Julie, what it must be like when this guy goes to Vons and is going up and down the aisle looking for, and he's like, oh, he's probably wearing like a sunglasses and a big floppy hat so that nobody sees him buying the glazes and rubs.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody,
anything
like,
he buys could be a glaze and rub. That's the rub.
Mm-hmm. When you're a master chef, anything is potentially a glaze or a rub.
Just looking at Brett's Twitter here, and I'm looking to see what he's tweeting that isn't Double Threat or Forever Dog related. And I'm seeing like there's a Hugh Grant thread. There's a video of a Pomeranian Palm on the Run.
Yeah, my new classic song, Palm on the Run. Yeah, people are saying they can't get out of their heads. It's a I tell you something, you're going to be walking down the road someday and you're going to hear somebody singing Palm on the Run. I guarantee it. It's going to percolate throughout the culture.
You're competing with Patrick Kottner about having an essential oils diffuser in your bedroom?
Well, he was bragging pretty hard on tour the other day that he bought a essential oils diffuser. And I've had one of those for about 2 years now.
So is that true?
Yeah, so I just had to put him in his place a little bit.
That, what are those oils? And what, I mean, do you ever confuse them with the oils in the kitchen?
To be fair, first of all, before I do want to just say, to be fair, Brett, he's not saying he invented like an oil thing. He's saying he bought one.
He's not saying I'm the first guy that's ever had one, yeah. Right?
And none of you have one.
Look, here's what I'll say. His tweet is both all caps and it had about 6 exclamation points on it. So if he had done one or the other, it was the combination of the whole thing that just kind of, you know, I just felt like I had to, you know.
Put him in his place?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Just
why does this tweet have 41 likes? Why did Kottner's I bought an essential oils diffuser? All right. And then, Tom.
Yes.
We have this amazing blurry photo of our pal Brett. With sunglasses, so it's not going to help him not get recognized at Mond.
This photo, I didn't know what to make of that.
This is iconic. Took a spur-of-the-moment vacation day. This is the house where Dennis Wilson lived with the Manson family.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's running away from the...
Oh, yeah. No, it looks like he knows security's going to show up at any second, and he's stealing the photo. That photo was slightly... The Jay Johnston photo was less upsetting than the photo of Brett than that Brett photo. That two photos dropped that day that were upsetting. Brett got the gold medal with his Dennis Wilson Manson photo. And then Jay Johnston, a close second, basically making Mr. Show unwatchable now. That guy taken away from me, and I'm still just like, yeah, Brett's photo was a little more upsetting. Now, do you know, Brett, if you and I went out into the woods out where Spahn Ranch used to be, can you find that cave that everybody gets their picture taken at? Because nobody gives direct instructions
I can find it. I know a guy. He could drop a pin.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, because I've never been there. I have been to that bat cave that Willem mentioned last episode.
Have you?
I did not know that was...
You didn't partake in the house special?
No, I know. I knew it was known for Batman. I didn't know it was known for that as well. I have been there, but I have not been to the Spahn Ranch cave.
Now, Brett.
Yeah.
You as the personality on air, you are one thing, but you're another thing entirely behind the scenes, and you're the master of pulling clips together.
And I mean that's I'm really just sort of the messenger, you know, in that regard, the conduit, the people who really deserve the credit for these clips.
Yeah, the Patrick conduit.
I just want to give credit to the listeners. I mean, this double threat inbox, this could be like, you know, you could put this double threat inbox in a time capsule and as a kind of testament to all the weirdness of our world. They really come up with some great stuff. There's been some stuff that's been piling up. So I was hoping you guys wouldn't mind. We'll run through some clips this episode.
Okie dokie.
Check out some of these things that have been sent to us. This first one is from Andrew in Kansas City. And I say Kansas City because this is a local story coming to us from Kansas City. And there was a local meteorologist in Kansas City who likes to do a cat feature during her weekly, once a week during her weather report, she'll do like a cat of the week kind of feature.
Is it up for adoption or she just wants to like talk about this one cat?
I think it's like users will send in pictures of their cats and then she'll pick
news.
A cat of the
Listen
week.
Listen to me. I like cats. Tom.
I'm going to say this. Either this should not be on a news show or you should be hosting this on a news show, Julie.
Why aren't I a news person if this is all it takes?
And with beat reporter Julie Klausner is out with her Cat of the Week report.
Thanks, Tom. Cleo is a tabby who weighs 14 and a half pounds.
Yeah.
Back to you. And I just hold her up.
Yeah. And then people are just like, yeah, they never got around to talking all about that racial injustice that's going on and thing, but they sure managed to get those cat stories on our
news. How much does Cleo weigh? How much does Cleo weigh? Do you remember?
14 pounds.
14 and a half.
14 You're and close. A half. So, Brett, this is a cat story.
Yeah, she does. She. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she. It's a cat story. She has cat of the week, and it's a two-parter. There is, I will just say, the second video is of her apologizing for what she does in the first video.
Oh no! Oh no!
But we'll watch the first video first.
Okay.
Here we go.
15 degrees below zero right now, so certainly
she's standing in front of like a weather.
So we've got our Saturday night forecast for you now, where we are featuring Kitler here, thanks to I think Kitler kind of looks like Charlie Chaplin here, so I don't know, maybe we're going to call him Charlie Jr., but anyhow, the weather's going to be great for
so hold on a second. So they just showed.
Could you make it bigger, please? Can you enlarge it? Or this is shocking.
If you can make it smaller.
This is shocking.
And it's a cat that has like a Hitler-type mustache.
Oh, no, it's a cat that looks exactly like Hitler. There's more than the mustache. Like the whole shape of the face, the hair, the eyes, the whole shape of like... This cat looks like Hitler.
So some weirdo named their cat Kitler... Because it's a kitten or version they of sent Hitler.
In this, or they sent in this photo as a prank thinking this idiot would say it out loud, which she did.
Which she did.
And then she decided to editorialize and say, gee, I wonder, this. You know who this cat reminds me of? Charlie Chaplin, as opposed to...
Mm-hmm.
If she didn't specifically say, I don't think this cat looks like Hitler, or I think this cat looks like Hitler and Charlie Chaplin, which makes me worried that she... got so, how do you call it? Pawned?
Brett knows he's hooked up.
Pwned, but spelled P-W-N-E-D.
What is Kevin Smith's?
Pronounced pwned.
What is Kevin Smith's taint and brown area due to his dick again?
Oh, God. The evergreen.
Ever brown. Tweet.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Where Kevin Smith bragged about his wife's nether regions and... his access to them.
Happy anniversary, honey. Guess what I got you? Look on my Twitter. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The fifth anniversary is usually wood.
Yeah. And now the anniversary is wood. You leave me alone. So this cat.
Mm-mm.
And first of all, Pwned, thank you for the update there with the...
Internet. Interbret.
So somebody slipped it through. They put a cat with a little Hitler mustache on it, and then this newscaster read the cat's name Kitler and then said, oh, there's a little Charlie Chaplin mustache. I thought I was gonna say, like, oh, the cat looks like the guy from Sparks. Like the keyboard Ron Mail. I'd be like,
you think this girl knows who's Martin? You think this girl's a big Sparks fan?
Oh, no, I do. She was in the Sparks documentary. She was actually talking about how much Angst in My Pants was one of her favorite albums. And how much the first album she ever bought was actually Womp That Sucker.
That's this town ain't big enough for the both of us. That's them.
Yeah, that is.
That does sound like a song written by a cat.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. So there's an apology?
Yeah, so this was one night, and then the following night came the apology. So here we go.
There's one more thing I do want to say about last night. I did make a mistake during our Caturday segment. I used a submitted photo of a cat with an inappropriate name. I don't want to use the name here, but I never intended to hurt or offend anyone by using that picture. That was actually just given to me. I understand my mistake, and I am deeply sorry. And in the future, I will absolutely be more diligent with this content to ensure it never happens again.
Oh, my gosh.
And I want to just say that I apologize, everybody. I'm so sorry. But now let's go have another cat. This cat's name is Osama bin Purin and is...
Pussolini?
Yeah.
Pussolini! Oh, no. Now I want to get a cat named him Pussolini. No, this is what I'll do. If there's a cat I don't like, and by the way, I can think of two. I could be like, how's old Pussolini tonight? That's what I'll say. in my head.
Now, there's people, I know a couple people, and I have people I like, but I know that their pets look like Hitler, and I would never tell them that.
How many people do you know who have pets that look like Hitler?
I know one cat, one dog.
Do they work together?
I would never ruin their pet for them and go like, hey, you know, your dog looks a lot like Hitler.
Wait, they look like Hitler when they're together?
No. No, the dog has a certain quality, like certain like white face and a little smudge under his snout makes him look a little Hitlerian.
The cat
was the same thing.
The cat's just really good at art, but he's never really appreciated.
And the dog also had like floppy ears that made it look slightly like Hitler's that
floppy
lousy
ears?
Comb
like Hitler's
over
floppy
hair.
Ears.
Yeah. Well, no, that greasy comb over that Hitler had. Boy, that's the master race, huh? This guy with a greasy mop
like
of
that character
thinning
that,
hair
that Marty Short did with the cigarette.
What yeah, Nathan character? Thurm.
He's like Nathan, like. It's just like, what do you need to do this character, Marty? Like, oh, just a cigarette and like more Brill Cream than you can like even imagine.
As much Brill Cream as New York City has available.
But like, how much like Hitler really liked product in his hair.
His hair was so greasy and gross. I can't believe, look, how did anybody look at this guy and go like, yes, this is the greatest man I've ever seen.
That's our man. That's like, our man.
Rather than just like, even if they were like, look, I agree with the things you're saying. You're not the vessel.
Look, I
for
agree
this.
With what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, even if they were the worst humans alive and said they were 100% bomb. Look, I read your book. It's a great book, but you look like a real douchebag.
Has Joe Biden cut off that little extra thing in the back that we've discussed?
Party in the back.
Yeah, because I know that we're talking about all these deficit cuts. I have one cut I'd like to make.
That would be the cut. Yeah, exactly.
A little snippety doodah.
Yeah, I feel like he's working over on COVID relief. We all need some relief from that.
Jovid.
The little tuft. Can't get that cut on the Amtrak. Can't get it on the Acela. Can't get somebody on there with a pair of barber clippers.
I'm gonna hypnotize that younger dog, the smart one, the one who's a sheltered dog. That sheltered dog is so much smarter than
Champ.
Champ is so. Is it Champ or Major?
There's Champ and Major.
I'm gonna hypnotize that sheltered dog into biting off the back, the little extra.
That would be
to nibble perfect. Off the excess in his daddy's haircut.
Yeah. Just get that dog hooked on.
Just dip it on peanut. Dip it in. Or just dip it in peanut butter when he's sleeping. If I was Jill, I'd be like, oh, I have a new deep conditioning treatment, but it's just for the ends. Good night.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Champ, Major.
Champ,
do peanut butter.
Do your thing.
Peanut butter time.
Do your thing. And they're like, what are you guys doing back there?
Nothing.
He pulls his CPAP machine off. There's no way he doesn't have no CPAP machine. Joe Biden.
It must be.
He hears those commercials, like where they're just like, get a CPAP machine that's clean and the tubes are clean. The mouthpiece don't get so dirty. He writes the number down on that.
Well, they probably, now that he's, you know, the president, he probably gets a new tube every night.
Yeah, CPAP one.
He wakes up and the dogs are like, ah! And Jill's like, I said there's peanut butter.
And then he wakes up. He's like, I tasted peanut. Somebody got peanut butter in my CPAP.
You got CPAP in my peanut butter.
That's a great idea. Flavored CPAP machines.
Well, I guess I'll go back to sleep. It was like, dogs are like, it's a dream. He goes, okay, sounds good.
What time is it?
What dreams I have. I have such nice dreams in the Lincoln bedroom. You sure do, dear. Good night. And then she puts, I guess you can't give Nutella to dogs. There's chocolate in it, right?
No, you can't.
So what if she puts peanut butter and what a dog's like gravy or like something that's like makes it extra special?
Yeah, I smear a little bit of little bit of just like some Alpo runoff.
Just right? the top, like when you open a thing of tuna fish, like there's the water on the top.
Thinking of the wet bottom of a dog food lid when you screw it off and you lift it up and it's like wet, like covered in just like.
That's what they, but honestly, Tom, that to them is like, that's dessert. That's that's the creme brulee. That's like the top you crack with a spoon. Remember when Amelie was like, I like to crack the top of the creme brulee with the spoon.
Amelie, she loved her creme brulee.
She's like, there are three things I like. Cracking creme brulee with a spoon, waking up to see the sunshine in the sky, and cappuccinos.
Well, she also liked to like imagine people having sex on the roof of her house. That was the one that always gets.
I also like to think about people having sex on the roof of my house.
It's always the one that gets forgotten.
Oh la, ooh la la.
Brea.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
Brea,
it is me, Amelie.
Amelie's here. Are you riding a bike around? Or are you riding a fun?
Bonjour.
Are you riding a fun bike around, Amelie?
Wee, wee, wee. Off I go to the farmer's market.
You gonna get baguette?
I'm going to get a baguette.
And is it gonna stick out of your little bike basket?
Wee, wee, wee.
Brayette, can you pull up a clip? This is one I wanted Julie to see for a long time. Seinfeld dog cough.
You can make me watch a clip of the show.
No, this is the episode where Kramer has a cough and he can't afford. He doesn't want to go to the doctor, so he starts.
Oh, you told me about this, yeah.
And he goes to the vet because the dog has the same cough as he does.
Right.
If you don't laugh, I'll promise you this, Julie. If you don't laugh when you see this dog cough, I will give you $100.
Wow.
Okay.
High stakes. Here we go.
Get ready.
What's with the dog?
Yeah, this is Smucker's. I borrowed him. Yeah, we share the same affliction. So I'm going to have a vet check us out.
A vet?
Oh, I'll take a vet over an MD any day. They got to be able to cure a lizard, a chicken, a pig, a frog, all on the same day.
So if I may jump ahead... You gonna take dog medicine?
You bet we are. How smart is that?
I owe you $100.
I laughed. Oh, no. I laughed at one point.
I owe you $100.
I get What's distracted with Jason Alexander's playing to the rafters.
I owe you
and his
bucks.
Blousy jackets.
That's no. I owe you $100. What's your Venmo? I'll do it right now.
My Venmo is Kittler.
Kittler.
Pussolini.
Kittler and Pussolini. And I guess dog cough. Dog cough.
Don't send me $100, Tom.
Dog cough didn't laugh.
Do not send me $100. I'm going to send it right back to you.
I just sent you $100.
Tom, I'm sending it right back.
I bet.
Think
you should keep that money.
No, I'll pay.
I'm keeping this money. I didn't earn it.
No, you did. You earned it by not. You didn't find it funny.
I did not agree to this bet.
I need to pay the piper on this one.
Oh my God! I just got an email. Tom Sharpley paid you $100. People are gonna think like we're like those two old guys in Trading Places where we're like just amusing ourselves throwing money around.
Oh no, we're not. I'm not rich. I'll actually.
Well, I'm a little richer.
I'll take a sting with that, and I'll learn my lesson not to shoot my mouth off that I know what's funny.
You know some of my Seinfeld triggers.
I do. I thought this would have overcome it, the dog laughing, coughing.
I laughed a little.
No, that's fine now. So, Brad, do you have any other clips?
Yeah, I got some other clips for you here. Before I do the next clip, though, I want to show you, Julie, I made a GIF of George C. Scott in Hardcore.
Oh,
I think I think this could actually be big. I mean, this feels like the kind of GIFs that people share on as comments and stuff. So let me show this for you real quick.
That's amazing.
I mean, I feel like this could be this looks like any other GIF people use.
You need to do, Brett. Oh my God. You put that GIF and you say, me listening to what's a thing you don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
George Lucas talk
George
show.
George Lucas talk show, yeah.
Me listening to Patrick's George
parts
Lucas
of
talk
George
show.
Lucas talk show.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go, double threat. I'm gonna give you an example of how to use this meme with the meme on my Twitter, yeah. and then I encourage you guys to use this meme, spread it far and wide.
Don't you picture
spread it
him
as far and wide as his daughter's legs in that movie he's watching? My God. I don't think she was. I think they even show a clip of her in that movie in other words, he's reacting to his daughter being in a porno, but it was like a 70s porno. Like I said, she was probably just like dancing around to The Guest Who and like had so much, you know, pubic hair that like you probably couldn't even see anything pink.
Look, I have nothing to add to that. Do you think he was on set doing that scene and then some people were just like, oh my God, that was the most powerful thing I ever saw. And then like some like lighting guy was like, I thought this guy could act. That was the worst thing I ever saw in my life. Wait, what do you mean we're good? That was terrible. he's a bad actor.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the lighting guy turned on like a blue gel and George T. Scott was like, turn it off.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Like, he's over at craft service and they're like making grilled cheese and it's like getting a little too brown. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Turn it off. The hairdresser's like curling his hair. She's got a curling iron.
It's a little too wavy
for him.
Yeah. He's in the hair and makeup trailer and like they're doing his hair a little too much. Turn it off. She
can't hear him because it's over the hair dryer.
Yeah.
Turn that off too.
Yeah. Somebody's in the thing and they're playing like some Frank Zappa album and he's like in the trailer. He's listening to Bongo Fury.
Snow. Yeah.
Turn it off. Turn it off. He's just...
I got something for you here. This is actually kind of from your guys' neck of the woods. I don't know if you ever heard of this place or remember it. You ever heard of a place called Gadget's Restaurant that was briefly around in Long Island in the 80s? Gadget's Restaurant?
No.
All right. Well, then I got a treat for you. This clip is of a restaurant called Gadget's. And this clip comes to us actually from Sarah from England. I know who's a Best Show caller. Sarah from England sent us a clip of Gadget's Restaurant, and you got to see this.
Smart business people know it often takes a gimmick to sell products. Well, if you own a restaurant, you sometimes need more than good food to attract customers. And as Lynn Brown now reports, there's one establishment that's singing a Looney Tune to drum up business.
There's nothing like it.
Oh no!
Nothing else around. Gadgets. What the? Gadgets. The only girl in town.
He's Sammy Sands, and he's a robot. He's the star attraction at Westbury, Long Island's newest attraction, a place called Gadgets.
Okay, hold on.
A unique sort of restaurant.
What we're seeing is a restaurant on Long Island has an automated piano player kind of thing who looks like who? Who's this? Who's he look like? It looks like a caricature of, like, if you went to like the boardwalk
David
and got
Brenner.
One of those characters.
David, he looks like David yes. Brenner dressed like Liberace.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's upsetting. It's upsetting. It's animatronic, right? It's like the Chuck E. Cheese. That's what those things are called. Like the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like the guy that used to host Studs. Remember that show? Studs?
Yes, I do remember. Oh my God. Yes, I do. I do. That guy, that whatever happened to that host? Because if he didn't end up like cut up in a duffel bag, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, he. It means he eluded his fate.
His like destiny. That was a movie. That was even when I was a kid and I saw that show was on. I'm like, oh, that guy's gonna end up dismembered.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, that said, I hope he's okay.
I hope he's fine.
There's just about everything from airplane propellers to washboards, and everywhere you look, the moving objects get your attention. It's a combination of antique, amusement park, and high technology all rolled into one. And Candace Adams with Warner Leisure Company, which is responsible for gadgets, says she expects the idea to really take off.
Dining out is one of the fastest growing leisure activities of the 1980s. And I think we're getting a more and more sophisticated audience.
She looks like if Mary Tyler Moore had like a satanic sister.
Yeah, Mary Tyler less.
She'd be like, my sister's the funny one.
My sister's the funny one, and she also does not worship the dark Lord or partake in the dark arts.
In the dark arts.
I am wearing red and black, as
she's
you see.
She's wearing red and black, and she looks like she's pretty in like a very evil way.
Yeah. Like in a way where you just be like
standing in front of like some animatronic like fucked up shit. It's clearly like she started this place so she could have her like rituals.
Yeah.
This is not a place for my coven. This is a place where you can get old, you know, good old American fine dining and have a nice time with the family.
My God, she looks so intense, this woman.
She's terrifying.
But they want to be entertained, and we want to entertain them and give them a place that's fun to come to where they can spend the entire evening.
There's also a very special attraction for the kids and the kid in all of us. It's a robot cast of Looney Tunes characters, and that what a show they put on. Right?
Yes, sir. We're going to take you back to the golden days of the cinema.
Wait, hold on a second. That Yosemite Sam.
That Yosemite Sam's made entirely out of human hair.
That Yosemite Sam is like.
Human hair of like her redheaded sacrifices. After hours, they bring in a virgin.
That's horrifying. And there are these animatronic ones, and they're just like jerking to the left and jerking to the right. And like they're not doing anything special except. They're cueing these old Mel Blanc things going.
Look at what's behind Yosemite Sam on the left. Is that just like a generic rat?
Yeah, what's that rat? I see it's like an
Elmer. And the one on the right, too, because it looks like they have these copyright. And again, these cannot be sanctioned by.
Now, that Bugs Bunny did not look right either.
But then in the back, there's just like generic cartoon characters.
Yeah, let's see.
There's, you know, Bugs Bunny looks.
Doesn't look right.
His face misshapen. Is so small.
Yeah. His face is way too wide.
Look how small his eyes
are. It's like they ran out of material when it came to the top half of his head. The ears are nice and long. The face is way too wide. They need to like smush the face in so it goes up like a cartoon. His face is basically shaped like a
leghorn in the back.
He's shaped like a football. His head is shaped like a football, but he doesn't have a football shaped head. Maybe I do, Doc.
Touchdown, Doc.
Oh my God. That just said it all that moment.
And then there's the food, and the executive chef, Mike Huffler, likes to think that his dishes make a gadget of a difference.
This is what we call our giant nacho platter, and it's in a giant basket.
Could you pause it, please? First of all, Mike Huffler is an adult actor. No question. Never in my mind have I seen a guy where I'm like, I've seen that guy's cock before. I've seen it.
Yeah,
I know exactly. Like, I could spot it in a lineup. Yeah, that guy is an adult entertainer.
George C. Scott saw it also.
Turn it off.
Hey, I got the giant nacho plate here. How melted do you want? I'll melt the cheese a little longer. No, turn it off.
So this Mike Huffler,
the cheese is melted enough.
He was is clearly hired after the, this is the most after the fact hire I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In part because his hair is like so unkempt that's going to fall into the food. That guy is not a real chef. I'm sorry. Yeah. That guy is not a real chef. He's pretending to be a chef. That satanic lady hired him last minute to get a restaurant light. Look, there's not even a kitchen. There's not even a kitchen.
He's in front of a table. He's in front of just a table with a white tablecloth on it, as if you're just going up to get the food.
Right.
Not make the food. You don't make the food at that table. All right, let me hear Mike Huffler, please.
Mike Huffler likes to think that his dishes make a gadget of a difference.
This is what
makes
call
no sense.
That's not
giant
a
nacho
sentence.
Platter. And it's in a giant basket made of a flour tortilla with taco chips and chili con queso sauce. But we have many pastas on the menu. And then we have fresh homemade desserts on the menu.
Is that the lowliest cheesecake you've ever seen? This is New York. That cheesecake looked like it was like on an airplane.
It looked like the pasta salad. But look at the chocolate cake. Looks like it's about to tip itself into the Hudson River. Like, look, the chocolate cake. Look at that. Doesn't it look like it's about to it's gonna die? And it's about to jump off the building.
And they have all of the thing that like that's quote unquote classy, which is a chocolate covered strawberry. On the plate, which is just like, ooh, this is fancy.
Maybe I'll put this in the mouth of my lover.
Yeah, chocolate covered strawberry.
This is a chocolate cake.
No, he's having a stroke. Unique? That guy's animatronic too. Tom, that guy's reveal. The chef is animatronic. This is chocolate. Someone Bonk. Smacks him. Yeah. He goes, cake.
Does not compute. Does not compute. He's one of the gadgets.
What does he say like that? And his food says it will make a gadget of a difference.
And
is that what she
Mike's
said?
Food, his he feels his cooking will make a gadget of a difference. The just nonsense. That's not even based. It's not even like a misuse of a there cliche. Is,
yeah.
A
There's
gadget of a
going
difference.
On and. There's something rotten in Transylvania. That's all I've got to say.
We got our specialties, the nacho platter, and we also got the cheesecake and the chocolate. Help me. The gadgets are coming to get me. And they're going to get this you.
And this pasta is really a gadget of its own.
The gadgets are coming for all of us.
We've got this spaghetti and gadget sauce. And then we've got a gadget salad.
We got a gadget salad, and we got this cheesecake here. And the gadgets, you need to stop. No! And suddenly he gets electrocuted. Like Elmer Fudd comes up behind him with a...
Is there an Elmer Fudd?
He's in the back.
What's this guy doing? He's got all these cords behind him. Like well, it's like a steampunk kind of looking bar.
It looks like the bar has... like it's meant to be like a laboratory that the
so the, like the part in Willy Wonka where they go through the like whipped cream station,
yeah
the Oompa Loompa whipped cream train.
And Robert tells me that one of the specialties of the bar is something called a Sammy's Whammy, named after that guy over there behind the piano. And believe me, after you've had one or two of these, it doesn't matter whether he's human or humanoid.
That is the craziest thing.
That she rules. That woman's the best is, part of this whole thing. She's fucking awesome.
So she's basically
great.
Saying, you get bombed enough at this place.
It doesn't matter if that creepy robot is a human or not. But I will say she's holding this like gigantic.
That drink is wide also. Just tall. It's wide. Her hand is barely holding on to that drink.
It barely even cups half of it. She rules.
So she's saying you get so loaded that you might get lucky with a robot.
Oh, I didn't know that was what you were.
Wait, can you play her thing again?
That was what the gadget was.
After you've had one or two of these, it doesn't matter whether he's human or humanoid. I'm Lynn Brown.
Lynn Brown rules.
Yeah. Brayette, get Lynn Brown on the show. We need to talk to her about the gadgets.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to know what happened after she had a second sip.
Yeah.
Of this nightmare. Because I do believe that the bartender, I would drink before I would eat because I do not trust Chef Hoffler.
No, you don't. You mean, you know, he's getting calls from porn shoots saying,
Hey,
we got a gig for you.
Yeah. Are you comfortable with, and then you just see him shaking his head. No.
See him making the nacho.
And then he goes, and then he leaves anyway. And you're like, what did he just agree to do?
Well, I've got one final clip here for you. One final clip. This one. All I know.
Oh, I don't like that.
What was that hoof?
Like, I don't know if there's anything
a hoof
here.
Is
I
what
think
a
there's
horse
something
has.
Here. This is all I know about this clip is what the title of it is, which is singer tells drummer to stop dragging. So we have a. You know, I'm not even going to, I have no setup for this. I'm just going to show this to you.
That's and funny.
This is all I know. This one might, it's short though, so we can kind of go through it a couple times and try to figure out what's going on here.
Oh my God. Wait, hold on. We need to. Okay, we're gonna watch this about 80 times. This is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
I was watching the wrong guy. I was watching the guy with the goatee in the middle.
I'm watching
there's a lot. There's a lot.
It's a band playing some. What's it say?
Rockin' Al,
hanging in the background, and it's a band. The bass player is center stage for whatever weird reason. And
look at him.
He looks like Murray from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Like where he's just like,
before he was
Jimmy, I just want my money.
Pool.
Come on, Jimmy. Everybody else is getting their money. I want my money. So he looks like that. And we were all watching him because he's center stage. And then this singer creeps up behind and goes up to the drummer.
Right to the drummer and flips off the drummer.
Drummer jumps up. Oh, please. I need to see it
this
again.
This is like
please.
The Zapruder. We're going to watch this like the Zapruder.
Okay,
footage.
Good. That's what I was hoping. That was my I watched this about 30 times last night. So I'm glad that you guys are on the same page. And I just wanted to real quick, I didn't mention this. This is from Jonelle. Listener Jonelle sent this in.
Thank you, Jonelle. Oh my God. Oh my God. So
it looks like the singer comes in from the right, has words with the drummer, then flips off the drummer.
The singer, who I will say looks like, if I could sum this up, he looks like if Gaten Matarazzo from Stranger Things dressed up like the Sammy Hagar.
And that guy who worked at Trash and Vaudeville. Who is that? That guy who we lost recently.
I don't know who is that.
Hold on, let me look it up. What's his name? He died recently, but yeah.
He comes over to the drummer and he's like telling him, "Stop dragging." And then the drummer clearly says something in return. And then the singer does this withering flip of the bird as he walks, as he starts to step away from the drum set. The drummer stands up, stops playing.
Wait, I want to see what's the first frame of this thing. Is the singer in the shot, or he's coming in? So the singer's, by the way, it's Jimmy Webb from Trash and Vaudeville, who he looks
okay.
Like.
And I'll also put this clip on our socials at Double Threat Pod if you want to follow along.
This guy.
Yeah, there's a definite vibe like that. Yeah, like a New York
and by the way,
cool guy.
Yes, exactly. But I will say the drummer is slow.
Yeah, no, the drummer
isn't
said,
doing
want,
a great
look,
job.
I don't want to say anything. I don't want this guy jumping through my window and shoving me. I don't know if he shows up if he's like Beetlejuice or he's like a Candyman for that matter.
So the singer comes over, says something to the drummer. The drummer's pissed. He don't listen. Okay, the singer goes, shrugs off. He goes, all right, this guy's not going to listen to me.
And then flips him off.
He walks away. He can't help it. But he has to flip him off while he walks away.
You.
Then he turns.
And he turns.
And he has another word.
He steps back toward the drummer. By then, the drummer's standing up.
Yeah.
And he is very big, by the way.
He's towering over him.
He has his sticks on. He's huge.
The drummer's towering over
him. He looks like Stephen King when, like, you see, like, an older guy wearing a t-shirt and it just kind of drapes.
Yeah. Yes.
You're like, that's the right size for you?
Yeah. Where you're like, that's either one size too small somehow or three sizes too big.
And so the drummer, he's got his drumsticks in hand.
And shoves the singer back with both hands.
And he doesn't let go of his sticks at all.
And the singer falls back.
Look at his body full language.
Full Bazooka Joe style. Full Bazooka Joe flat, like feet, legs horizontal as can be. There's a shot where his legs are literally off the ground.
You can see his 2 feet in the air. Like Tom's saying, it is a full Bazooka Joe style fall out of frame.
So then the drummer stands there and the bass player now.
What did the drummer just say to him? He just said something like,
like, don't tell me to stop dragging. How's that for dragging?
Yeah, drag your own. Right.
And the bass player, who looks like Murray from Goodfellas, is just... he's still playing, slowly realizing there's no drumming going on now.
He looks over. By the way, he looks like Murray from Goodfellas. He also looks like Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
He does. He looks like, he's got
Murray. He looks like Murray Hill a little.
It looks a little bit like Murray Hill. Yeah.
So Murray realizes that drumming has stopped.
But it's still like,
and he looks over his shoulder.
He's still like playing a little bit. Like, just back up and we can hear his playing. I want to just hear the bass player. Listen to how long he keeps playing. So there's the part where it gets magic. You think it's over when this singer hits the stage flat on his back.
After the Bazooka Joe fall, you think, okay, drummer won.
So then the singer pops up, grabs the cymbal and cymbal stand and overhands it onto the drummer, hitting him on the shoulder.
That is so fucked up because originally when I saw it, I thought that the singer took the mic stand and attacked the drummer with it. But now I see... it's like chopping off someone's leg and then beating them to death with their own leg.
He's beating him with his own drum set. So he hits him and then the drummer lunges forward, both hands out, and jumps, still holding the sticks, I think.
And he just tackles him.
Look, he's still holding his drumsticks, right?
He's a professional. Even though he's slow, he's committed. Yeah.
And he jumps on top of the guy, falls forward. The two of them crash to the ground. Now the snare is on the ground.
The drummer's on his back.
Yeah. They're rolling. The drum set is now just falling apart.
I think the drummer goes off the stage at this point because he kind of disappears.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Does the singer have the upper hand now that the drummer's on his back?
The only one I'm mad at now is whoever stopped filming this at this point. This should have been when you start filming it.
I looked around and everybody's just posting this clip. So if anybody, I couldn't find any fuller context for this.
We want the before, the after, the after.
Yeah.
I'll post this on all our socials. And if anybody has any context or a longer version of this.
Have you tried Googling Rockin' Al?
Oh, that's a good point.
We want this band on the show.
We want to have a, like, we want to do mediation.
Yeah.
This is a good idea. Tom and I want to do what that therapist did in Some Kind of Monster.
To Rockin' Al.
Yes.
Yes. We will be the Phil Towel of Rockin' Al. Unless Rockin' Al is not the name of the venue, is it?
I hope not.
I think it's the band based on the way this clip is set up and it's
Yeah.
I like when somebody wrote another thing. You don't want to make the singer mad. It's like, I don't know. The drummer might not want to make that drummer mad either. The singer,
I could take
gets,
the singer. I could take that singer, by the way.
Yeah, the singer seems, the singer's definitely smaller. And, but the drummer's the one who decided to get violent right off the bat. It's just like, he didn't take the criticism. He stood up, shoved the guy.
Well, it's like a fox annoying a bear. And then someone being like, don't make a fox mad.
These guys.
They're so cool.
They are cool.
The problem is that this, that these shenanigans got in the way of the music.
Yeah, because they were in the middle of doing what sounds like Brown Sugar. It sounds like some bad Rolling Stones song, right? Because it's like boom, boom, now, 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 boom, now, now. So there's also probably a guitar player off stage, I guess we're not seeing, or off camera.
Yeah, I could use some help from any internet detectives out there, because everybody is kind of coming to the same conclusion I did, which is all that exists is this one clip, and everybody everywhere is asking the same questions, which is, who is this? Where's the longer clip? And nobody has any answers right now. So this is still, this is a pretty new clip though. It just posted, mm-hmm. I think last week. So I'm waiting on that big paragraph reply that somebody chimes in here with some answers. But so far,
you're waiting for the deep dive, the long read. Yeah,
waiting for the deep dive on Rockin' Al. Yeah. I'll keep tabs on this though. I'll keep tabs on
the history of Rockin' Al.
This, the Billie Eilish documentary has put Apple TV on the map with all its views.
Brad, I think they put they put Apple TV on the app.
This Rockin' Al clip is going to put Forever Dog on the map. It's going to be your Billie Eilish documentary.
There we go.
Or it could be like your, you know, Serial or something.
Yeah. I've always wanted to be an investigative journalist. I've always, you know, wanted, I just needed the right, you know, way in. And so I think that Rockin' Al might be.
What are those skitters going to be on?
Oh, I'm working on an all sliders app. Look for that in the next.
You've been saying that.
Working, oh, this is, I mean, the sliders are, it's like, you know, gaining entry into a subculture, right. I'm not going to ask about it again.
It's none of my business.
I can tell you what the problem is. They're all currently being held from the Capitol riots. All the sliders.
How many sliders? Yeah, that would be an interesting Venn diagram.
Yeah. How many sliders were also participating in January 6th Capitol riots? And you're like, wait, no, that's one circle. Where's the other circle of the Venn diagram? No, that's it. That's it right there. It's one circle, 100%.
It's like Donnie Brasco. Right now I'm trying to, like, you got to be very casual to gain access to these like exclusive, you know, societies. And so I'm trying.
This is your thing. I'm not going
to
ask.
I'm just hanging out at slider bars right now, trying to be casual about it, you know, and I think eventually it's going to pay off. Somebody's going to come up and talk to me and it'll go from there.
Wait, what? You've been hanging out at slider bars? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, you know, like in Donnie Brasco or The Departed, whenever you're trying to like infiltrate a society, you usually just go to a bar and act casual, and then eventually,
you know,
someone...
in those lesser mob movies when,
yeah,
you know, in the bad ones when like, wow.
Wait, hold on a second. You're not pretending to be a slider. That would be the whole thing with Donnie Brasco.
Don't pretend to be a slider.
That's the problem, Julie. This guy's going in the world. He's pretending to be a slider.
You're not.
I really want to be a slider. I know.
That's what I'm saying. Either be one or don't. But this pretending is for the birds. It's for the birds.
Look, for the birds. I think... I want to be a slider.
Go do it. Go do it. Then go do it.
Go do it. And for people who don't know what we're talking about, which is everyone.
Brett, I don't even know what we're talking about. I saw that whole goddamn documentary. I don't know what the fuck this is.
It's a thing. It's these maniacs that go to Knott's Berry Farm.
Artists.
And they slide on these knee pads and sparks fly off. The end.
That's the prologue. That's the sentence one of chapter one. There's a whole ethos and a whole culture and a whole history to the sliders world. So it's I feel I got a sliders episode I'm working on. I think it's going to happen. I just need some time to do my...
I'm not going to check in on it again.
Yeah, let me know when it's on. Let me know when it's on. I'll listen.
I'm not going to... I don't want to know about the process.
If there's any sliders out there listening to this show, I'm
very
eager.
There are no sliders listening.
Very eager.
There are no sliders listening.
Learn your ways and talk to you more about the philosophy of sliding and the whole deal. Love to talk more about it. You can hit me up at doublethreadpod@gmail.com.
Don't use the show email to learn about slider. Yeah,
your slider. How many, Julie, do you think there's more of a chance of a slider listening to this show than having been involved in the Capitol riots? Seriously.
You mean one out of like however many thousands of people listen to this show? Is
yes.
there one person in our audience
that was
who's either a slider or someone who stormed the Capitol?
Who wasn't?
What's more likely?
Jay Johnson.
I'd be thrilled if Jay Johnson listened. To be
well, if Jay Johnson was a slider.
Jay Johnson's too tall to be a slider.
Yeah, the height is a problem there.
What's he doing?
Well, look, if there are any sliders listening, I want to be very clear too that I am. I mean, you might you hear us, you know, kind of making fun of gadgets and that kind of stuff. I am completely serious about this. I will give you guys an open forum to talk about sliding.
You're not talking to anyone, Brett. No one who's listening is the person you're addressing.
You might as well be addressing people of Mars, right? You might as well just be talking to people. I'm reaching out to citizens of Saturn right now. If you're listening to the show, I would like you to come on.
Saturn.
There's more of a chance of someone from the planet Saturn saying like, hey, I actually am on Saturn. I'm a fan of Double Threat.
I'm going to make a $100 bet right now. $100 bet that there is someone that is a slider that listens or is slider adjacent. Like, you know, a slider.
Who's going to pay that $100? You think it's going to come with the one that Tom and I are bouncing back and forth on Venmo?
If I don't hear from someone who is slider adjacent on the Gmail this week, I'll pay $100. $50 to you, $50 to Tom. I will pay. If someone, if you are listening
Brett,
this episode,
what does slider adjacent mean?
You know a slider.
It means him.
I know what the fuck you're talking about.
He's talking about himself. He's going to be like, hey, I'm slider adjacent. You owe me $100.
You know what? Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I actually have already heard from somebody on the Gmail that is slider adjacent. So
now he's just talking to himself. It's like we don't even need to be here, Tom.
Yeah. No.
I'm going to get, he's going to Venmo himself.
And you probably know who you are. I haven't gotten back to you yet, but I am planning to make you part.
You know who you are?
I am planning to make you part of the slider.
Do you think Brett's bugging everybody over at Race Chasers with this slider business?
No.
No. You think Trek's in the city?
If he were, that would have been the first thing Willem said when he was on the air with us.
Guys, this thing's going to win a Peabody, all right? I brought it to you because I want you to have it. You know, it's not, it's like.
We want it too. That's why I checked on it, which I'll never make the mistake of doing again.
What was disappointing about the status update that I gave? Because I feel like I'm, you know, if you want the episode, and I'm telling you I'm working on it, I've got some leads.
If you working on it means, hey, if anybody's listening who's a slider, give me a call. That's not great research. That doesn't really like inspire confidence. I don't feel like, you know, Ken Burns, when he was trying to get to the bottom of the Civil War, was like.
No, he's doing a 5-point apart sliders thing for PBS right now. My dearest
Sliderini.
Yeah, my dearest Sliderini.
Sliderini. Not very calm. It's very cold this time of year. And I fantasize about those tater tots you would make me after I was done sliding.
The sparks from my sliding remind me of the sparks that your heart sends me a flutter. Hopefully I can come home soon. I mean, well, it's just like, yeah, you're not at war. You're just a deadbeat and you can come home anytime you want.
He's not going to like that. You could have the deadbeat.
Yeah, just to repeat what I said earlier, you'll probably get a little of this from Tom and Julie, but for me, you're going to get nothing but a sincere exploration of your
Santa Claus. You are talking to Santa Claus. You are you are reading your letter to Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Out loud to an audience of very, like, you know, the sympathetic parents who are like, oh, that's cute. I'm telling you, there's no sliders listening.
You know who you are. There's at least one.
I really want you to. This is what I would hoped for when I'd asked for an update. Yeah. Was that you would say, I've pulled clips and I have four people that we're going to talk to and and I'm really excited. And also, here's what it is, because I haven't been able to figure it out.
I've done all that. That's just the legwork on me.
You're right. That's on me. It might be something that's too simple.
I'm at the cherry on the sundae part of preparing for this episode. I got the research. I got the clips. I've already ordered. This is true. I've ordered sliding equipment. I'm gonna.
Of course you have. I don't not believe that. Yeah. Why do you act like that's something I wouldn't believe?
Which you have to make at home. It doesn't come. I didn't buy it at home. Yeah, you buy the parts and then you put together a, you know, you essentially add metal to gloves and knee pads. It's
you have to hack things that are already pre-existing.
That's right. I've got all the pieces. I've got the step-by-step guide. I mean, look, I'm going to try to become a slider. I've got all the clips and then I just got to get some real sliders. That's kind of the final piece of this. So
this is, I don't even know what to say about this anymore. Brett, it might be time for you to go do a slider podcast.
Slide into my DMs.
Yeah, a sliders podcast. Are there any slider podcasts out there other than Joe Rogan?
No. There's the market is wide open. There is at the very least there's not a definitive slider podcast. I certainly, you know, I can't say that I didn't hope for that there would be like a spinoff kind of potential to this episode I'm planning. Fingers crossed.
Let us know when it's ready. That's all I'm going to say.
Maybe we can come on and be a guest on slide into my podcast.
I mean, look, I'll do you one better. If the episode, if it's a spinoff of a double threat episode.
I'll do you one better. Please, let me hear how you're going to do us one better. What are you going to do?
Well, I was going to say, if it's a spinoff of a double threat episode, if that's how it originates, then you guys are owed, you know, a percentage of IP ownership.
Sure.
For the slider podcast.
Plus $100.
Here's how
what we give you.
This is the only way we're going to make money on a slider podcast is through merchandise. And I want to do a shirt. What's a shirt we can do about sliders, Julie?
First of all, we've been a little lax on our merch stuff lately.
Oh, so we got some great designs coming out in the near future. Okay, we'll have another big rollout in the next week or so. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that.
Let's step it up with, what's a Brett slider shirt we can do?
Well, it could be Brett holding a big tray of sliders, like sandwiches, but instead of like meat, there's like his face and each it's like his little head.
I mean, I like slide into my DMs and then I can just put my Twitter name under it.
Sure. @Brayette, slide into my DMs. That should just be a shirt right there. Yeah. And what about a shirt of... if it's Brett and Paul Simon as sliders and they've slip sliding away, like they're singing slip sliding away, coming out of their mouth, like a little cartoon bubble.
On all fours with their, because that's how you slide, right? You're on all fours with kneecaps and like
just on your knee. You can do all fours. You can do just your knees. It depends on what move you're doing. But you know, there's different. Yeah, it's usually just your knees or all fours.
So if that's the case, how about Brett is on his knees and Paul Simon is standing next to him because Paul Simon's so short. They're both the same height.
Mm-hmm.
And it says slip sliding away ? And Brett is saying that to Paul Simon, and Paul Simon says, "I'm good."
I love it. What about a shirt that says? It's the White Castle logo, and it says Brett Castle, home of the sliders.
That's good.
Brayette Castle.
Yeah, I like it.
Home of the sliders.
Yeah.
That might set the record for a merch store for how long it takes you to explain to someone, you know, when you're wearing it. Like how many, I mean, I think there's, I don't even know if I could fully explain that to someone.
I certainly couldn't.
How about a good old fashioned just double threat shirt also at some point? One that actually just promotes the program that all of this is taking place.
What's that? It's a podcast. Just type in the title, the end.
Yeah.
There's the logo. The logo shirt. You can get the logo shirt. That's at the it's always at the top of the store up there.
We want something else.
Okay.
Where I have like huge knockers.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, the Slider community, you are welcome. This is your home, Sliders.
There we go.
Yes, double all threat. Of you Sliders listening.
Yes,
there we Sliders go. Welcome. That's our motto.
We're like USA Network, but instead of characters welcome, we say Sliders welcome because we know you guys are a bunch of characters anyway.
They would like that. They like gentle. They like some gentle ribbing. So that'll really.
Sure. No, yeah, they like, I know the Sliders don't go for blue humor a lot of time. They like kind of fun stuff. Like they're big fans of like Wes Anderson movies.
So reach out to me, all you Sliders out there. You got a home on Double Threat. We're going to make this happen. It'll be a great episode.
I love it.
Well, thanks for listening.
Julie.
Tom.
You're the best in the biz.
You're the biz and the best.
And Brett.
That's all right. You know, I like that. That was a real nice moment. You don't have to.
Thank you. No, Brett. Keep sliding.
Listen to what he's going to say.
Yeah, Brett. Brett.
Yes.
Keep sliding, baby.
Yes.
And rate and review the show. And you like it at Apple Podcasts and all wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, promote
write
Double
us
Threat.
A review, retweet us and tell your friends to listen to us and make sure that you're subscribed and all that jazz, and definitely leave us a review or else Brett will lose his mind.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, please, we're almost to 1,000. It'd be great to get to 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts,
and I don't look at them.
Me
they're
neither.
None of my business. What people think of me is none of my business. No. Unless it's nice,
I'm just flattered to be in the discussion. That's how I says it.
Join I'm the just conversation, flattered. Like Garth Brooks said.
Yeah. Join the conversation over here at Parler. Hey, guys, I'm new to Parler, and I might be.
Let the conversation begin.
Let the conversation begin. March 20th. It's a new date.
I want to post racist stuff.
I might post Ooh. Some racist stuff. Conspiratorial stuff. But mostly it's going to be seditious stuff. But mostly it's going to be seditious stuff. Now, thanks everybody for listening. And we will be back next week with another episode of Double Threat. And we love you. And goodbye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.